Because we've all had days and or maybe even seasons or years where all you do is stumble and fall. You've had days where temptation just has its way with you. Where that habit or that part of your character that you've been trying to suppress and put down and get over and overcome rises back up in a vengeance. There are times where you simply wonder how God could possibly love me, let alone even like me. And if you've had times like that, then maybe you look at this and you look at these two descriptions of a stumbler and a solid person, and you think, well, stumbler is too soft of a word for what I am. I feel like anything but solid and secure. Which one are you? My baby boy Elijah is finally getting to that age where he's starting to interact with you just a little bit. You hold him, and if he's just been fed and he's rested, you coo enough, you Google, you Gaga, you do all those kind of things that you lose your dignity for a little bit, and you look at him in the face and he will give you a smile. It's a beautiful thing. But at, what is he, 10 and a half, 11 weeks old now, he's a long ways off from walking. In fact, he's a long ways off from even crawling or even sitting up. If I'm laying on my back and I have him on my chest, his neck is just strong enough to hold his head up a little bit until he crashes his nose into my sternum and gets off into a crying fit. Elijah is anything but solid and secure. Yet, Peter, in his letter, encourages us just to be like him. Verses 2 and 3 of 1 Peter says this, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Through the Holy Spirit, Peter knows his audience. He knows the people he's writing to. And his readers then, just as his readers now, which are you and me, are nothing but people who stumble about in their faith. We are, in Peter's eyes, like newborn infants. We have deep needs and we can't do anything about it. You and I are and always will be stumblers. Temptation and sin is always standing at the threshold, just waiting to burst in. But indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is good, that you have seen that the Lord is kind, that He has something for you, that the Lord has shown you forgiveness, which I hope you hear and receive every Sunday morning in these doors, then continue to crave after the Lord and His promises as a baby craves after his mother. Because it is faith in Jesus Christ, receiving that pure spiritual milk, that causes a person to be stable, secure, solid, firm, a stone, and nothing else. Because in this passage, the people that Peter are talking about, the people that he calls stumblers, aren't people who are in faith wrestling on a daily basis with their sin, with their temptation, and trying to live more holy lives. The people who are stumblers for Peter are people who have rejected Christ. They're those who have heard of his suffering, heard of the cross and his death, heard of his resurrection, and want nothing to do with it. They deny it. They reject it. They throw it by the wayside. Those who are solid are those who simply have faith. If you have faith in Christ, no matter how small or how precarious, and I can't overstress that enough, no matter how small or feeble at times your faith might be as you're going through the struggles of life, to you has been given pure spiritual milk. To you has been given the wonderful promises of our Lord. Listen how Peter describes you with even just the slightest bit of faith. Listen to how Peter describes you because of what Jesus has done for you. In verse 4, he says this, "Come to him," him being Jesus, "a living stone." Verse 5, "and like living stones," that's you, "let yourselves be built into a spiritual house." Jesus is the first living stone. And through Jesus, you are then also called living stones. Now, the imagery here is not that of a big old field stone you might find out in your cornfield one day as you're going through, plowing around. But it's a picture of a stone that has been hewn and shaped and made for a purpose. One that could be joined together with other shaped and hewn stones to all be brought together to make a structure, a firm building. It's the picture of the church, of one believer united with other believers simply through faith. And what is their anchor? What is it that they all are bound together on that holds them in solid formation? It is none other than Jesus Christ. "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." We are these living stones, purely because Christ has made us a living stone. Purely through his death and resurrection, you have been made acceptable to God. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. This means that you will not be judged according to your sin, but rather according to Jesus Christ, who lives in you. In other words, when God looks on you on that day of judgment, he does not see you a sinner, an unrighteous person. He sees the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ in you. And you are then acceptable. So Peter calls you a living stone simply because of your faith. But perhaps an even more solid and firm description of who you are and how the Lord views you is later on in verse 9 with the word chosen. I love this word. It's a word that we find throughout the letters of Paul and Peter describing it. It's pure gospel for us. Listen to this, verse 9. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." I have a question for you. If God the Father looks on you and calls you chosen, if he looks on you and calls you my own people, if he looks at you and attributes to you the holiness of Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection and says, you are holy, what more can you ask? What more could we possibly hope for? What is more firm and solid and substantial than God's own word spoken over you? God loves you. He even likes you. What's more is that he doesn't love you for who you are, but in spite of who you are. And it's because of this that Christ died for you, has called you out of your darkness, out of your sin, out of your waywardness, and into his marvelous light. What it means to live in the light of Christ, it doesn't mean that we will no longer be subject to temptation, no longer fall and sin. What it means is that sin and temptation no longer define who you are. You are a living stone carved out by God himself. You are chosen by God. So therefore, let us, by faith and by the Holy Spirit, live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. And when we stumble, let us fall upon the mercy of Christ and his love for us. Amen.